Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for joining me for this opening day edition of Fantasy MLB Today. We are a Sports Ethos presentation, of course, and I'm your host, Joe Orrico. You can find me over on Twitter at JoeOrrico99 and also at EthosFantasyBB. That's where we post all of our new podcasts, articles, news and notes, anything in our fantasy pass, all fantasy baseball content you guys can find over there. That's EthosFantasyBB. Today, guys, it is opening day. It is one of my favorite days of the year. You get to see those rosters actually come to fruition. You get to see some stats on the sheet, whether they're good or bad, whether it's head-to-head, roto, points, whatever it is you're playing. You actually get to see some stats today. You get to see some real baseball. We got a lot of fun and exciting stuff to go through. So we are not going to waste any time. We are going to be breaking down some of the biggest news and notes from opening day. Let's start with Garrett Crochet. He looked dominant in his first career start. I don't think that he's had a start going back to like college. Just looking at his Fangraphs page, no starts in the minors, never had one in the major leagues. It's been a very long time. It was tough to know what to expect. I took the plunge on him. He was very cheap for most of draft season, and I had him on about a third of my teams. I'm very happy, man, today. Six innings pitched, five hits, one earned run. He struck out eight with no walks, 32% CSW. That fastball was sitting 97.6, up about a mile and a half from last year. And a 99.8 mile per hour max velocity reached. 99.8, nearly getting to 100. There's a chance that the White Sox and people who took a chance on Crochet, whether in the draft or if they took a chance adding him in their league, really struck gold on him because he was, like I said, just so cheap. That's why I had a bunch of shares. And even still, he's 30% rostered in Yahoo leagues. So it's a tricky one, right? Relievers converted to starting pitchers. You never really know what it's going to look like in the long term. Usually, honestly, they don't pan out. But with the early returns like this, after the strong spring he had, he is their number one starter. He's the opening day guy. They're going to need to rely on him for volume. I mean, there's a lot to like. He is a must roster player. He is the first guy that I'm kind of putting the must roster player tag in season on. Of course, we can't really use that before the season starts. You can and you can't at the same time, but he is the first guy, really, that I'm calling a must-roster player. He should be added up everywhere. We don't know how it's going to look in the long run. There's a chance that Garrett Crochet ends up back on waiver wires, like 30% rostered type of guy, reliever converted to starter. You know, he is, generally speaking, more of like a deeper league guy, but there's really a chance here that he could turn into a 10 or a 12 team type of player. I wouldn't be surprised if that does happen just based on how good he has looked. So as of right now, he's definitely somebody that I am looking to add. The problem is, the only problem right now, is that his next start looks like it'll come against the Braves. So he is likely going to be a sit for that start. Not likely. He is a sit for that start. But he's still somebody that does warrant adding onto your rosters. Absolutely, 100% Garrett Crochet is a must-roster player right now.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So, after an entire winter of assuming Alex Lang was the closer in Detroit, day one, Jason Foley gets called upon in the ninth inning, of course, because there's going to be some chaos on opening day. It wouldn't be opening day if there wasn't some chaos. Jason Foley looked really damn good. He locked down the save. He got those last two outs, a couple of strikeouts, and he got the fastball up to 101.3 miles per hour. He's a speculative add if you need saves. Now, I don't think that I would necessarily want to be dropping Lang, but this is the thing, right? Like, the manager's showing his hand on opening day. If Lang was the guy, then he would have gotten the chance in a one-run game on opening day. So there is a part of me that is saying you can probably drop Lang. I'm not sure exactly how this is going to break out. Ideally, you won't drop Lang, and you can kind of have both of them and see how it works out. I understand you won't be able to do that in every league. Foley is definitely somebody that is worth speculating on. And I think, honestly, it would probably be a safe move to pick him up for Alex Lang if you are somebody that did invest in Lang. It's really tricky, because what do we do if Lang gets the next save opportunity? Then we're just doing the snip-snap, you know, Michael Scott snip-snap meme. I it's a tricky one. But I think, honestly, just based on them kind of showing their hand here, we kind of have to go with Foley at this point. Josiah Gray, let's talk about him a little bit. He got knocked around real properly at Great American Ballpark. That was to be expected. If you started Josiah Gray today in Cincinnati, then I think you were not thinking clearly, to put it as politely as possible. I think it was an absolute bonehead move if you started him expecting anything other than what we got out of him. It was a piss-poor outing. But Cincinnati is a tough team. They are, you know, slowly becoming one of the better offenses in all of Major League Baseball. That park is also brutal to pitch in. So 7 earned runs over 4 innings. He had a couple of walks. It's not a big shocker to me. Whatever you thought of Josiah Gray before this, which, I mean, he's kind of a tricky player to evaluate. High prospect pedigree, hasn't really planned out for the last couple of years. But at the same time, like, he is somebody where it's kind of very similar to Mackenzie Gore, his teammate. There's something very, very close to just capturing something and breaking out at the same time. So I'm still kind of in on Josiah Gray. He is more of a deep league guy. If you're in a 10 or a 12 team league, I don't think he really warrants it, especially if you're like talking a head-to-head league where you don't have to deal with bigger rosters. Standard Yahoo 12 teamer, I don't think Josiah Gray is quite there, but again, like, it would not shock me at all if he breaks out and has a really great season. Last year, on the surface, it was really good, sub-4 ERA. It was kind of a, I don't know, I don't want to say it was a BS type of season, but he didn't deserve to have a sub-4 ERA. Like, the supporting metrics were not great. The strikeouts still aren't fully there. They're coming along, and I think that he could potentially get there this season. It might not come this year. It might not come at all, but there are pieces in place that do lead me to think that Josiah Gray will figure it out and become at least a very viable fantasy starter. As of right now, you shouldn't change your opinion on him because of what happened today. It's the first game of the season. Not everybody's going to be in tip-top shape anyway, and if you started him, I think it was a very bad decision. But I do think that there is a chance that we see a really great season out of him nonetheless. But even still, right now, he is a deeper league NL type of target, not somebody that you need to worry about in your shallow 10 and 12 team leagues. Now, let's talk about somebody on the Reds who caused some of this damage to Josiah Gray. Nick Martini, it will bring me great sadness. And you guys, if you follow me on Twitter, you might have found me through Twitter. I don't know how you listen to the show, wherever you find me from. But I have been doing these threads of the most added players every day in Yahoo leagues, talking about, you know, just breaking them down a little bit as much as you can on Twitter. Doesn't give you a massive character limit, but just giving my general thoughts on the players who are being added, whether I agree, disagree. If I have to talk about Nick Martini as one of the top 10 most added players tomorrow, I'm going to be very, very, very sad. But it's almost inevitable that I will have to, because he hit 2 home runs on opening day. Please do not do it to yourself. This is something that you will not end up winning. This is a battle that will not be won. He is not going to be somebody that is going to be a regular in this lineup. He's not somebody that you can rely on at all. I mean, we're talking about a guy who is 34. Is he 34 yet? He's going to be 34 in a couple of months. He's played 141 big league games, career, minor leaguer. His sampling at the big league level actually isn't terrible. He's a 270 hitter over those 141 games, but there's really not a lot of power. There's no speed. There's no regular role. It would be a very bad move to add him to your rosters. But again, like, if people, I understand it. People at this time of year are just looking to see if they can catch lightning in a bottle. But I will point you back to Trace Thompson at the beginning of last year for the Dodgers. He had that 3 home run game. First week of the season, first couple games of the season, from what I remember. And then you're looking at like fantasy rankings the next day, daily change leagues. Oh, he's number three ranked player for the season. I should pick him up. Maybe it sticks. It would be a bad rookie type mistake to buy into something like that happening, especially with a guy like Nick Martini. There is no chance that this is going to come to fruition. If you are in a deep NL only league, maybe he's worth your time. Even then, I don't think that I'd be buying into it. If you are playing in a 12-teamer, 10-teamer, 15-team mixed, please do not go and add Nick Martini. It would be a terrible decision. If you played him in DFS today, or if you happen to just stick him into some kind of lineup today, then that was an absolutely genius move. Do not do it again. It's the only time you're going to see something like this happen. Do not buy into it. Let's talk about Nestor Cortes. He got roughed up a bit by the Astros. Five innings, he threw, he allowed five hits, four earned runs, struck out five and walked two. 37% CSW. Below the surface, looked pretty damn good. This is a pretty tough assignment on opening day, the Astros. He wasn't even expecting to have to start opening day. I mean, there was like three guys ahead of him that you would have thought as of like a couple weeks ago. Stroman turned down the assignment. Cole got hurt. Rodon, I guess you could argue, I'm not even sure if he was in the conversation for it, but I don't think Nestor Cortes was expecting this assignment. It's a tricky one, and below the surface, things look pretty good for him. So some may drop him in shallow leagues. He's only on 79% of Yahoo rosters. After all, he's not somebody that was like a massive, massive target for 10, 12 team players, but I'd buy any dip that comes from this. If he does get dropped, he would be an immediate add. If people are saying, you know what, I drafted Nestor, I'm trying to get rid of him. Just what do you have to offer? Last round player, couple last, whatever it is. I would buy into it. I think that he is a lot better than what we saw today. Last year was a tricky season for him, but we have a couple years, bodies of work of success under his belt last year. When it's one year where a guy's dealing with injuries and things don't really turn out well, it's like the same thing with his teammate, Carlos Rodon. It's a different situation, but very similar. I'm willing to give them kind of a pass, and I think Nestor falls into that same kind of category as well. I think that he'll be a lot better than what we saw last year. It wasn't a fair shake. This is not a fair shake to judge him on either. The Astros are an incredibly tough matchup, so go ahead and take a chance on him. If he's sitting on waivers, he'll probably be dropped by people today or tomorrow, whenever they end up getting around to it, because that's the way that things work. But I'm really not somebody who's going to be worrying about this too much at all. On the other side of this matchup, Framber Valdez was not exactly on his A game today. 4 2/3, he allowed five hits, three earned runs, five strikeouts. You hear that, and that's okay. 30% CSW. But he walked six batters. It is a holy crap type of outing in terms of the command. Only 52% of his pitches were strikes, 45 out of 86. I'm not going to be overly concerned, but his next start comes against my Blue Jays. I watch the Blue Jays probably closer than any other team in the league, just being a Toronto fan. I am going to keep a close eye on Framber and see if this is something we have to worry about now, if the command is suddenly going to be something that is not there. Now, I don't expect this to be a big problem, but I feel like I'd be crazy to not at least mention it. Six walks from a guy like Framber, who's generally, I mean, the command is not like, he's not George Kirby, but last year, he had a 7.1% walk rate. That's, above average. It's good stuff. The year before, 8.1%, right in line with average. Like, this is not something I thought we'd have to worry about. Over spring training, again, small sample size, but he walked 6.4% of batters. So to have six walks on opening day is concerning. Now, Juan Soto is a couple of those because, that's what Juan Soto does. So maybe I'm reading too much into this, and I'm not reading a lot into it. It's just something that I think we do need to keep in the back of our minds, that maybe that command is not going to be there as much as we'd hope. But again, it's one start. It's just something to keep in mind and see if this is something that he is going to be doing consistently from now on. Let's hope not. Just, again, something to put in the notepad. The Dodgers' big three today. Oh, man. 12 plate appearances. We had six runs scored, five hits, four walks, and two home runs. This came mostly against Miles Michaelis, but even still, this is absolutely ridiculous. Like, the Dodgers are just going to be so good offensively. If they are able to get any health at all from their pitching staff, if Glasnow is able to throw 140 innings or even like 130 innings, pretty much repeat what he did last year, Yamamoto is able to just be even decent, like, this team is going to be crazy. This team is going to be absolutely ridiculous offensively, and I mean the whole package, right? The pitching is kind of the only question. Like, they're potentially one of the best teams you know, pitching wise, but they're also potentially a team that could deal with a ton of injuries to their rotation. So that's going to be dictating a lot of their success, I think, because the National League is tricky. It's tougher than the American League, in my opinion, especially when they got to deal with a team like the Braves. So the pitching is going to be a massive thing, but this lineup is just absolutely absurd. That's just the top three guys in the order. 6 runs, 5 hits, 2 homers. Like, just an absolutely absurd showing. Again, it was Miles Michaelis on the other side, so don't read too much into it. But, I mean, I tweeted it out, like, 400 runs between these three guys at the top of the order might be what we see. We might be seeing them average about 130 runs a pop here. That's what we could be dealing with. It's very scary stuff. Let's talk about Patrick Sandoval. Dreadful start. Dreadful start to the campaign. An inning and 2/3. He allowed 6 hits, 5 runs. Only 3 of them were earned, though, luckily for him and his people who started him today. 2 strikeouts, 2 walks, and a 27% CSW. I wouldn't bother with him outside of the deepest of leagues or an AL-only format. There just isn't enough upside to justify the incredibly low floor on a nightly basis. The walks, the whip last year was 1.5. There's not really any win potential on a night-to-night basis with that team. They are dreadful. It is Mike Trout, who we'll get to in a minute, and pretty much nothing else to go along with it. Taylor Ward's okay, Renjifo, you know, Ohapi, whatever, but come on. Like, we're kind of grasping at straws here. This is a team that spent a lot of money over this last decade or so, and they stink. The team context is awful. So Sandoval, he could pitch 30 games and win 5 of them. Like, that wouldn't shock me. 5 or 6 of them. That's how bad this team is. There's just really no upside. Now, I believe he's only about 6% rostered in Yahoo League, so it's not like this is affecting a lot of people today. But I think that if you are taking a chance on Sandoval, because, I mean, a lot of smart people are still kind of interested. I was kind of interested myself for part of the last couple of years in him, but at this point, it's very, very hard to buy in.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's talk about Michael Garcia. So he was leading off for the Royals. That's great stuff. His exit velocities today were 105.2, 101.3, and 99.2 miles per hour. That 99.2 miles per hour was a home run. An unexpected little surprise, because we were getting him because we think the batting average can be good, can steal you 30-plus bases, top of the order potentially. Shout out to Mike Kierlin, who I believe was the first one who projected that he would be a top of the order type of bat, that he would be leading off. And it come to fruition. It's come to fruition with Michael Garcia at the top of the order. So this is a situation, again, where we're talking absolute must-roster player. He's up over 70% now. I believe he's at 72 at the time of recording. By the time you hear this, it'll be higher because people are going to buy in, as they should, to what we saw from Michael Garcia just today. It is worth adding absolutely, regardless of your league size or type. He is a must-roster player. I don't think there's any debate about it, really. Maybe he's able to give you double-digit home runs. I wouldn't expect a huge power output from him, but even if it's 10, even if it's 8 home runs, 8 or 10 home runs at the top of a not a bad lineup, honestly, batting right ahead of Bobby Witt, Vinny Pasquantino, that's pretty damn interesting. There could be a lot there. There really could be a lot there with Michael Garcia. So if he is sitting on your waiver wire, I would absolutely go ahead and add him. Couple of other little notes today. Those were the big ones, but in terms of some other things, let's talk about Zach Eflin for a second. This one was hard to watch. I'm a Blue Jays fan, and the Blue Jays were getting to him, and it was tough to watch just because you guys know how much I love Zach Eflin. Out of all the people who put rankings on Fantasy Pros, there's about 50 of us. I ranked him higher than anybody else. I had him number 9. And watching him through the first 5 innings, I felt so vindicated. It's like, this is just, he is still so good. You know, people were worried that it was just a fluke last year. I wasn't so worried that it was a fluke necessarily, but that maybe it was like the best we're going to see from Eflin. I don't know. I had some worries just because of how high I ranked him. But watching him in those first 5 innings, he was just dominant. And then it didn't happen in the 6th. He kind of fell apart. which is going to happen from time to time. Sometimes over the course of an outing, you just lose it. He gave up a homer to Kevin Biggio, which would be the first kind of sign that you don't have it. Then Vladimir Guerrero Jr. takes him for a 450-foot ride to dead center. Should be another sign that things are not working out, but he managed to stay in the game for five more batters and just allowed, I think, four more hits over that span. Shame on Kevin Cash. Shame on him. Again, showing that he really does not know how to manage his starting pitchers. Going back several years now, as we fondly remember, or not so fondly, depending on who you are, Blake Snell being pulled early in the World Series. Why? Because Kevin Cash does not know how to handle his starting pitchers. He's shown it on the first day of the season and the last day of the season that whatever it is about looking at the pitchers, about consulting with the pitching coach, whatever it is, he just can't do it properly. Because Zach Eflin, you could see it clear as day. He lost something. He started walking. He walked a batter. He gave up these home runs. Very uncharacteristic things for Zach Eflin. And yet they allowed him to just eat and eat and eat all of that damage. So it ended up being six earned runs over 5 2/3 for Eflin. Three homers allowed. George Springer took him deep a couple innings earlier, but that was the only blemish in the first five innings. Other than that, he looked lights out. So this one is on Kevin Cash, in my opinion. This is not on Eflin. Yes, it's bad. Like, you're going to have to look at a 9.53 ERA in your head-to-head league or whatever league you started him in, which sucks. But honestly, if people are going to be upset or panicking or whatever, buy any dip that you get off of Zach Eflin. There's a potential chance that some people who were already not that bought in and ended up with a share or two might say, you know what? Maybe he doesn't have it. Maybe this just isn't it, and he got lucky last year. I watched this game very closely, being a Jays fan, being a huge, huge Eflin fan, and this was really, honestly, not on him. This is something that falls onto the manager. Again, with Kevin Cash, he's shown it over and over again that he's kind of an idiot in terms of how he manages his starting pitchers. Yandy Diaz, another note from that game, just one of the best pure hitters that you'll ever see. He had a home run, he had a single, and he had a double as well. It wouldn't shock me at all if we end up seeing Yandy Diaz hit 330 again and win another batting title. He is just so, so special. Let's talk about Mike Trout. I mentioned him earlier. He hit the first home run of the season, not counting the Korea games. First home run of opening day was Mike Trout taking Corbin Burns for a nice little ride to center field. This one was, it felt really cool to watch that. You know, you put on... It was the only game on at the time because we had a couple of those rainouts. It was supposed to be the Mets game on, I believe, at that time. But all eyes in the baseball world are on this matchup, and we have a multi-MVP going up against Corbin Burns, who is a Cy Young winning pitcher. Burns, who was dominant today. Six innings pitched, 11 strikeouts. He allowed one earned run. Dominant, dominant stuff from Corbin Burns. Vintage Corbin Burns stuff in his Orioles debut. The only guy who got to him was Mike Trout. And that was just one of the most special moments of opening day. Mike Trout kicking off the scoring for the season. It almost gives you this belief that, and it's kind of just whatever, but maybe Mike Trout can have one more magical season because all these injuries are just awful. It's awful for baseball. It's awful for Trout that this is what where we are with him. That, I mean, not just the injuries, the fact that the team around him is so piss poor, but the main problem is that we don't know how many games we're going to get out of Mike Trout. If it's 100, if it's 70, if it's 150, we have no idea. This feels like a great sign that we could potentially get one more really great season out of Mike Trout before, you know, maybe injuries start to really affect him into his 30s. I only drafted him once this year. I wish I drafted him more. He is somebody that just, I don't know. It's a small sample, right? It's one thing. But Burns just being on today and Trout taking him for a ride anyway, it was great to see. And it's kind of a good omen, I think, for Mike Trout and people who took a chance on him this year. But that'll do it for us, guys. That is the opening day kind of recap here. We will talk tomorrow about everything that happens in the night slate, and then we'll talk about games that are happening tomorrow as well. We are off to the races. It is just going to be about trying to stay on top of everything because, as you guys know, 15 games a day, there is a lot that goes on. But we try and keep you covered over here at Sports Ethos. Go ahead and check out Ethos Fantasy BB. You get all of our new articles, podcasts. We're getting the blurb feed set up as well. That's going to be operational over the next couple of weeks. We're still just making sure everything is perfect before we launch that. And then you guys are going to be getting news and notes throughout the day in blurb form, as you are used to from a lot of different fantasy sites out there. We're going to be dipping our toe into those waters on the baseball side. We've been doing it for a long time. on the NBA side, the Ethos Fantasy BK page is our basketball blurb feed. It's got like 11,000 followers. That page has been swimming for a while. But we're going to be doing that on the baseball side, the articles in the Fantasy Pass. We're going to have the podcast, of course, every single day to try and keep you guys up to date. But that will do it, guys. Until tomorrow, take care, have a great night, and enjoy some baseball.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.